Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Literary World Cafe and Lounge. Good evening. How are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. We're going to start this interview out with you introducing yourself to the readers and giving them a little brief overview about who you are.
Okay, my name is author Leatrice Iverson. I am from Virginia Beach, Virginia, born and raised. I just started writing almost 2 years ago, and this is my very first novel that I have out named Uncharted Desires, and I'm very proud of it. And I just appreciate you having me on your show tonight.
Okay, well, you know, it's all love. Bear with me. As you know, I am battling a cold. So let's start off with talking about Uncharted Love, Uncharted Desires. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. How did you come up with that, the concept for that book?
Actually, it just came to me one day when I was at work. I just started thinking about what kind of novel I wanted to write, and I just started with one sentence and turned to another sentence, to a paragraph, into a chapter. I really didn't have any basis or strong, you know, inspiration as to why I wrote this type of novel, but when it started out, it really grabbed me, and before I knew it, you know, I was just running with the story.
Okay. So my next question, what's on your bucket list, your career bucket list? What do you have on your career bucket list for the next 5 years?
For the next 5 years, I am really determined, and one of my main goals is to have several novels out in different genres with, you know, that I will have published. I'm looking to do book signings. I would love to eventually one day have my own publishing company to help other aspiring authors to get their work out into the world. I just want to, you know, have everybody to be able to see my work and have readers anticipate when my next project is coming out.
Okay, well, you know, from what I've heard from, about Uncharted Desire, you got people already checking for your other book. When you were writing that book, did you need an outline? I guess kind of from what you just said, it just kind of came to you.
It really did. You know, I'm not a professional writer when I started by any means. I really did not have a clue as to what I was doing. I just decided I'm going to sit down and start a book. And I wrote maybe 3 or 4 chapters, and I put it down. I put the book down for 3 months, to be exact, because I got stuck. I didn't know which way to go. I didn't know what direction to take the story. So I kind of just put it down, and my sister, Inger Iverson, is an author also, and I went with her to a showcase at one of our local malls, and I was just blown away by the different authors that were there, the different genres everybody was writing in. I mean, these were everyday people like myself who worked jobs during the day and stayed late at night to accomplish their goal to write their book, and it just inspired me so much that I was determined to pick the book back up and continue writing it. So, I mean, and when I got that inspiration, it just flowed. And, you know, in some areas I did get stuck, and I had to stop and sit down and write an outline and try to figure out exactly where I wanted to go next. But pretty much it was just freestyle. I just wrote it from how I wanted the story to come out.
Okay. Now, what would you say the hardest thing was getting the book out?
Yeah, I really didn't have a lot of difficulty getting the book out besides being in my own way, you know, getting frustrated, you know, having to figure out where I wanted the story to go. I have a great circle of people that really helped me out during the journey of writing this book. So, I mean, I had a lot of inspiration, a lot of help. So I think the main thing was me getting my own way at times kind of slowed me down the process. But, I mean, as far as the whole process of getting it written, editing, formatting, I mean, all that was pretty much a smooth ride for me.
Okay, so when you and your vibe are writing, what do you have to have?
Silence, mostly, which is hard to come by in my house, but I mean, silence and a clear mind. If I had a long, stressful day, I have to be able to sit down and unwind and clear my mind before I can actually start writing, or I get frustrated and I'm just like, oh, no, that doesn't sound right. That's not flowing right. I just have to have, you know, silence and a clear, you know, peace of mind to start my story.
Okay, well, as we said at the beginning of the thing, 2 kids, where do you get silence at in your house?
in my room when I lock the door, and I don't allow them in. But my kids, my kids are older. My daughter is 22, and my son is 16. So it seems like whenever I'm
kids, them big folks.
They always gonna be my
They big folks. Right. I mean, they your kids, but they big folks.
Right, but, you know, it seems like whenever I'm just sitting around, nobody has anything to say, no questions are asked. As soon as I disappear behind a door, it's, Ma, can you do this? Ma, let me ask you this. Ma, can I talk to you about that? So, you know, they know now that when Mom closes the door, she's gone. This, you know, figure it out for yourself until the door opens back up. But my sanctuary is my room. Right.
Or you should have asked for the door closed. So what do you do by day?
I work for a house cleaning company by day. I clean houses. So a lot of my inspiration comes from that when I'm dusting or I'm vacuuming the floors or I'm cleaning. A lot of great ideas pop into my mind because I'm just in the zone and I have to stop what I'm doing, take out my phone, and jot it down so I don't forget it.
Okay. Now, are you a pen and paper girl or you just get on the computer and type it out?
Well, when I first started out writing Untapped Desires, I didn't have a laptop or a computer, so I was doing everything by hand. And by the time I budgeted into my finances to get a laptop, I had four one-subject single notebooks with handwritten the book. So I had to stop what I was doing, type all that up, and then continue from there. And ever since then, I've pretty much been just open the laptop up and get to typing.
Okay. Do you like that process better than writing on pen and you have to go back and type it later?
Yes, I like that process a lot better. But when I do have to outline, I do it by hand. It just seems like that helps me a lot when I just write notes out by hand and then go back and fill in the blanks on the laptop on the screen. That helps a lot.
Okay. My next question, what is, like, your fantasy desire that you would want to write a book about? Some fantasy place that you would
want to
write a whole book about?
You know, I don't know. I never thought about that. That's a good one.
okay, we hold on to that question for our next interview then.
Okay.
We'll get that question at our next time for our next book. So yeah, when are we thinking of a next book to drop? Yeah, I know. I like that one.
Oh, what was your question?
So what idea do we have for the next one to drop?
Well, I'm working on my next one. I'm very close to finishing, and I'm hoping to have that out by March, the beginning of March. It's a book dedicated to the single mother, the ups and downs, the highs and lows, the everything that deals with being a single mother and raising your children and providing for your household on your own. And I came up with that idea just thinking about how my mother raised us and how I raised my kids, and I have girlfriends who are single mothers and the struggles, you know. I just wanted to have something that single mothers could sit down and read and strongly relate to.
Okay. So how long does it normally take you to write a book?
Well, my first one took about a year. But this one is flowing pretty easily. And this one's taken me about close to 5 months, which I'm very pleased with because I didn't want it to take as long as the first one.
Okay.
But I want it to I want it to be right.
Right. Are you more into novels or short stories?
I'm more into novels.
My type of writer. I know, because I just get irritated when the book over, and I'm like, really?
Right. I mean, I like to read short stories, but, I mean, when I'm writing, I like to write novels. I like to have a book that's, you know, several pages, well-written, has a lot of substance to it, so by the time you do get to the end, you feel satisfied with the story.
Right. Okay, my next question. What other genres are you going to branch off into?
The one I'm writing now that should be done in March is African-American fiction. Then I have another one I'm working on that is murder mystery. That one, I'm not sure. I'm hoping that will be out by June, but I don't want to put myself in a box. I want to branch out to all different genres. So, and I also have one that I'm working on that is a Christian fiction. So I'm just trying my hand at everything. I'm not going to limit myself.
So, which so far, which one you think will be your favorite, like the one you would really like to write in the most?
The Christian fiction, it really is inspiration to me because I was born and raised in church. I went to a Christian school. I mean, anything that I can write that would inspire someone, give them a little bit more strength to push on in their goals and in their dreams or just in life in general. I mean, I love to be able to reach out to people. And the book I'm writing now does the same thing, just geared towards single mothers. You know, I just want to be able to have a read my book and sit back and say, you know what, that's what I need to hear. That's what I need to read today to help me get through this crazy day I'm having. I just want to be an inspiration to people. So between the African-American fiction and the Christian fiction, I think those two are really my favorites that I'm working on right now.
Okay. What are some of your hobbies?
I like to go to movies, go out to eat, you know, like everyday people. But lately, since I've become a writer, I'm mostly a homebody now. If I'm not in the house working or out working my day job, I'm in the house on the laptop writing. But going out to movies, you know, got to eat, hanging out with my kids, church, you know, things like that.
Okay. So, like, do you like going like to Barnes and Noble, Starbucks, or anything to write, or you just like to write at home?
I usually just like to write at home. But I have told myself that I'm going to start trying to write in different locations to see how that helps, you know, the creative process. Because sometimes when you write in the same place every day, you get a little stale, you get a little used to your surroundings. So I think I'm going to start branching out and writing in different areas. And like you said, Barnes and Noble, that's one of the first places I thought about to go and, you know, sit down and write.
I just say that because I like to have some fun. I like to sit in there and read.
Yeah, me too.
some days I just go up there and I promote. I'll sit right there and promote. I'll make that my office that day.
And that's great because you have the coffee store, you have the books, you have a comfortable chair. I mean, what else do you need?
I got free Wi-Fi, so yeah, it's great.
Oh, that's always a plus, free Wi-Fi.
Even though we got Wi-Fi in the house, but hey, why use your Wi-Fi when I can go use somebody else's? So are you a published author, or are you doing all your work?
I'm self-published.
Okay. Did you ever think about being published, or do you just like being self-published where you have the most of the control?
Actually, I enjoy being self-published. I like to be able to sit down and make my own hours and give myself my own deadlines to create and finish a novel. I like going out with my books and talking to people and promoting myself and my work, going to different workshops and book signings. I mean, I just really find it amazing how people will gravitate to you when you introduce your work to them. Because there's a lot of readers in the world. There's a lot of people who love to hold a paperback and talk to people. And they're amazed when they find out you're an author, you're a writer, you work, you have a household to run, and you sat down and you wrote a book. I mean, it's a really gratifying feeling when people acknowledge you as an author and they're blown away that you can actually sit down and do it.
Okay. So do you actually still get a chance to read books?
I do. I love all different kinds of books. I haven't sat down in a while to read, but...
Who are some of your favorite authors that's out right now?
I love Pepper Pace's work. I love anything that she writes. It's so relatable, and I can read her books over and over again and find something different and get something different out of it every time. Mary Monroe, I love all her books. Her God Doesn't Like Ugly, you know.
I have not read that series, but it's on my list to do.
Really? Oh, you have to read it. All her books are wonderful.
I think I read, like, God Don't Like Ugly. I think I did God Don't Like Ugly and God Still Don't Like Ugly. Then I got irritated that it took her so long to put them out, and I think I just put her down.
Oh. Well, she has the Mama Ruby series, too. So, I mean, they're very relatable, too. It's like the people in her books are somebody in somebody's family. Like, I have an uncle that acts like that. I have an aunt that talks like that. All her characters are very relatable.
Okay. So my next question, are you a paperback person or an ebook person?
I am a paperback person.
Okay. Now, me, I still buy paperback, but I like my e-books. I can throw my whole tablet, my iPad, my iPad mini, my Kindle in my purse and have all my books on. Because I'm not that person to be reading all books at one time.
I just can't.
It's not for everybody. Trust me, believe it's not for everybody. As a matter of fact, when my mom had this conversation, I got her reading some of the Christian fiction books. And she was like, but don't you got enough paperback? No. Because
I have to have that book in my hand. I have to smell the pages. It's just something about holding the book in my hand and then just flipping through the pages. My mom has a Kindle, and she's like, look, read this. I'm like, I can't read it on that. I have to have a book.
You really can. You really can, trust me. You just choose not
to. I need to step up. I know.
Not low, because I'll tell you what. There's some people's book I want to physically touch, read, smell. Carl Weber book.
Mm-hmm.
And then those, because you know how sometimes they put the actual book out first and you have to wait a couple of days for the e-book?
Right.
Then I'll go buy the book because I don't want to wait a couple of days for the e-book. Because a lot of them, that's what they do. They kind of put the physical book out first to push those sales. And then a couple of 3 or 4 days later, they'll drop the e-book. Well, I done bought the book and halfway through it, and I don't think. I have a mixture of both.
Mm-hmm.
One is just a little bit easier for me. Because like I said, if I have to go out the house, whatever, I don't have to carry every book.
Right. There's a lot of people who still like paperbacks. You know, they're still into that. And then some people have gravitated towards the Kindle, so that's why I cater to both. You know, either or, they can get the paperback or they can get the e-book.
Right. You're not missing out on sales because you put it in both hands.
Exactly.
And I heard you mention ago that you have reread books. What's one of your favorite books that you have reread besides Pepper Pig?
Oh, all the Mary Monroe books. I've reread those over and over again.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just something about the way she writes. I love them.
if I ever
meet her, I would love to.
If we were talking, because like I said that about The Coldest Winter Ever, which was the first African-American book I actually read. And I have read The Coldest Winter Ever probably 50 million times. But when I read it, every time I read it, it's like a new book.
Exactly. You can get into it.
It's like, it's such a good read that every time you read it, it's like, oh, I didn't get this the first time I read it. Because mind you, when I first read that book, I may have been a freshman in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't really, I don't know. First of all, I went to Christian school. So, I went to Christian grade school and I went to Christian high school.
Going to Christian school.
Yeah. Going to math. Because actually, I went to a Catholic
school. Oh, okay. Yeah, I went to a Baptist Christian school.
See, we didn't have Baptist. I wish we would have, because that's my denomination.
Mm-hmm.
But going in the Catholic, I had to learn a lot of their things. Going to mass, going to confession. I'm like, I'm not going to confess to you because Jesus was there when I did it. So why I got to tell you? I used to get in trouble for that because I just couldn't get to that. I'm going to tell you what I did, but Jesus was there when I did it. No, that's okay. He knows.
Right.
So,
he saw me when I was doing it, so.
He knew I was going to do it before I did it. So I don't need to see him tell you about it. So, you know, those are the things that, when we were in school, we weren't allowed to be in those kind of books in school. We had to read basically Christian books.
Mm-hmm.
So I know in high school, I kind of fell off of my reading. I will be honest, I just realized about Christian fiction this year, and I have gotten addicted.
Because
I thought they were like preachy books. And I'm like, I read my Bible. I don't want to be preached at when I'm reading a novel.
I understand.
And so I didn't know. Yeah, and I didn't know that they were actually stories. They don't have a gun. They don't have a cussing. They have less sex. So,
my mother supported me, but she said she won't read it. She said, I'll buy your book, and I'll support you.
I was about to ask you that. How many people are able to support you? That was my next question. How many people are able to support you but will not read the book?
My mother and my daughter. My daughter's like, I don't know if I want to read it. She said, I'll buy it, but I don't want to read it. And my mother was the same way. And I mean, I can't blame either one of them because there's some things that you might not want to relate to with your mom's writing that, or your daughter wrote that. But I understand.
I understand.
For everybody.
No, but as you branch it out into all different genres, I'm sure you will write something that everybody
right.
will read.
Right. My mother's really
so
looking forward
to
my next novel.
Right, and I know that you have a book club.
Yeah.
Are you going to, and I'm just throwing this out here because I'm nosing and I don't want to wait until tomorrow to vote. So are we just going to discuss your book for the first one, or are you just going to really make a vote?
No, I want to have everyone make a suggestion. I was really adamant. I did not want my book to be the first book of discussion for the book club. It's called the R&R Book Club, the Read and Relax Book Club. And I want the members to suggest a book for our first read for the month of February. And then we'll vote on it and we'll pick, you know, whoever votes the most on whichever book, we'll pick that book. I wasn't looking for my book to be first at all.
Okay. Is there anybody that's in, like, the indie industry right now that's, like, putting out their own work that you would love to, you know, do collaboration with?
I would love to do a collaboration with my sister. And we've talked about it before. My sister's schedule is very hectic. It's very busy. So trying to catch her, you know, when she's not working on something is going to be almost impossible. But I would love to do a collaboration with her, and we've talked about it, and hopefully in the near future we can do that.
Now, does your sister, we know this is all about you tonight, but does your sister have books out?
Yes, her name is Inger Iverson. She has 5 published novels out, and her last novel she just published, called Incarcerated, is now an audiobook.
Okay, which I cannot get to them at all. I have tried. I don't know what it is. I just go to sleep. When I wake up, I guess they're still reading to me.
Well, I've never tried to sit down and listen to one. I'm interested to see how it is, because she was telling me there's only one person that narrates the whole book, whether it's a female or a male. And I was wondering, how does that one person do the voices? So I'm really curious.
It needs to be somebody that's real dead and unanimated.
Right.
So what
I guess for some people like
what
it.
What other novels will she have out?
Let me
a little bit of your room today.
Oh, yeah, I always show my sister love. I always got her back. She has a series out. Her first series is Paranormal Romance.
I'm going to have to go get it. Sorry.
Yeah, she writes paranormal romance and new contemporary romance. And she also writes interracial romance. So she branches out here and there, too.
Okay, and what was her name again? I'm asking
Inger,
myself.
Her first name is Inger, I-N-G-E-R. My mother, my name, I tell you.
I-N-G-E-R.
Uh-huh. Iverson.
Okay. Your mama wanted y'all to be different at all times.
Yes, she did.
She wanted y'all to know that they was talking about, y'all got names, and somebody say y'all name, that's them over there. You kid ain't even nobody that you can blame for nothing. That's them Iverson girls right there.
And that's why I go by Nicole a lot, because people are like, how you say it? Leatrice. Just call me Nicole. That's what I'm saying.
That's why they call your name when we started. I was like, I'm not going to kill that girl now.
Exactly.
Not gonna
and they murder it sometimes.
And I'm like, I said, no, we ain't going to mess with that. Okay, I will definitely be checking out your sister's book. Actually, people who have
that.
Listed that like paranormal romance, again, we all know this is about. Say your name one time. Look. Leatrice. That's actually a pretty name, though. Leatrice. Okay, we know that this interview is about Leatrice, but we also like to share. So her sister, Inger, right?
Inger, yes.
Inger. Her book for Few Are Angels, Volume 1, is actually free on Kindle right now. We can start there. You can
it's
test it right
read.
Now
it's
and find
read.
Out if you like it. So let's all
that's
tonight
right.
try to go
some
down
love.
Love that. Yeah, let's show her some love and all paranormal romance readers out here. Go out and get this. Four few are angels. Okay, so now that we have done plugs, hey, okay, one more plug. Good Night Sam is also by her, and it's also free on Kindle. So you have two good books that you can try out on this author.
Yes.
So let's go out and show some love. So there's a lot of writing in your family. You're not the only writer.
No, she started before me. I'm following her lead, but she's been writing way before I even thought about writing. But she's an excellent writer. She's very talented, and she's a great inspiration to me. Whenever I have a question or just need to vent, she's there to listen.
Is she the big sister?
No, she's the little sister. I'm the big sister.
you got the roles all messed up.
Yeah. Yep. I'm the big sister. She's the little sister.
Are you gonna dibble a dabble in any paranormal?
That's not my thing. I wouldn't even know where to begin. That's all her.
And you know what? I am so glad you came onto this show tonight, because you know this is what happens with independent writers. If you don't see the book being promoted, you don't know it's there.
Right.
And that's one of the things. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a promoter, but any indie writers out there, and there's several promoters out there, but make sure you have some type of promotion, marketing, something on your team,
mm-hmm.
so that your book is being known, is being seen. You don't want all your hard work to go in vain.
Very true.
I appreciate you coming in tonight and opening
my
eyes up to a new reader, because I definitely will be purchasing her book as soon as I'm off the air.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Not a problem. So where you were growing up, were you an avid reader then?
Yes, I've always been an avid reader.
Okay.
That's why I always wanted to read other people's writings. I never really thought about, maybe I could sit down and write something of my own. But I'm glad I didn't, limit myself and decide to try it, because I'm having a great time.
That's great. My next question. So when you were younger, think back when you were younger, what was the first series that you read?
First series that I read. You're making me think way, way back. Way,
not
way,
that
way
old.
Back.
Not that.
You know what? I couldn't tell you. I really did not know.
Okay, I'll tell you.
I lived in the library.
The Babysitter Club. That was the first series
Club.
That I read. The Babysitter Club.
You know, and I vaguely remember that series.
Uh-huh. I had them all. Like, every, I think they came out every maybe month. It was a different story of the Babysitter Club. And I think I was all of maybe 22 when I got rid of my book. I kept them up until that long. And now they're probably worth some money, because now the Babysitter Club is starting all over again for the younger kids. So,
that's
that was
amazing.
My first theory. Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't hold on to them.
I should have, but I gave them to my niece, and they don't tell them what they look like now. And the other thing we were sitting around talking about is, like, you know how some people write these stories, and then they blow up, and then when you read them, you're like, nah, how did that happen?
Right.
Because some of the stories that you see on, like, New York Best Sellers, stuff like that, and then I run out and I buy them, because, hey, they're on the New York Times Bestseller. And I'm like, are y'all buying stuff on New York Times Bestseller? Because how did that happen? So what are your thoughts about that, like the New York Best Time Seller, Amazon Best Time? What is your thoughts on that?
I mean, every reader is different. Every writer is different. Some people's focus and interest is on one thing, and some people's focus and interest on another. I don't base my writing on – I mean, if that happened, I would love for that to happen. But I'm not sure what to think about that. I mean, I guess it's just people's preference on what they like to read and what they think is – in or with the best read for at the moment.
Oh, that's a good thing. So are you striving to one day be on the New York Times bestseller author?
I mean, I would love it. Don't get me wrong. But right now I'm just passionate about actually writing, being able to get my creativity, my imagination out on pages for other people to read. If it happened, that would be a bonus. I'll put it like that.
Okay. So we talked about your book, and we talked about, so what would you give, what would you say the pros and the cons you have found out about writing since you've been writing?
The pros are being able to get your name out into the public, having people see your work, recognize your work, recognize you as an author and give you respect on that field. The cons, I would think, are I've noticed a lot of authors who aren't supportive of other authors. There's always some kind of arguments going on, debate going on. This publication company is against this publication company. It's just, I mean, I feel like all authors support each other. There's enough room in the world for everybody to be successful. So, I mean, I don't think it should be anybody down talking the next person because they don't like the way they write or they don't like their book cover or, you know, what have you. I just think that we should all just be supportive of one another.
And, you know, that's a great thing because I live by the statement, and me and my pastor was just talking about that today, but I live by this statement. What's for me, it's for me.
Right.
I don't have to cut your throat because if it's for me, it's for me. And you can't get it, it won't work for you. No matter how hard you try, you know, people don't understand that. If it's for you, no matter how hard you try, can't nobody else get it.
Because
it's for
what you're
you.
Doing, it's not affecting me, so why am I so busy focusing on what you're doing? You know, if you write a book,
the time you,
what was that?
Yep, because the time you take to worry about what you're doing,
right.
That's time I'm taking away from my own thing.
Exactly. And like you said, every book is for every person. So,
like people say, don't you get worried when you see a new promoter come out? Nope, because every promoter don't do what I do.
Right.
And wait, I promote may not be for every author. And, you know, what I promote might not be for every author. So why am I going to get on here, you know, and air out and have these unnecessary arguments? No, I'm not going to do that. So I understand what
it's
you're
negative
saying.
Energy. There's no room for negative energy
and,
in my world. I can't deal
not
with
at
it.
All.
I can't function
not
with
at
it
all.
Around me. So
That was my statement for 2015. Some people are not going back to 2014. So the same drama I dealt with in 2014, I'm not bringing it to 2015.
Right.
As a matter of fact,
true.
I had it on my voicemail. I think I had it on my voicemail. I was like, if you leave a message and I don't call you back, know that you did not make the cut to 2015. I mean, you literally, because people are like, well, you didn't call me back. Didn't you hear my voicemail?
You
I left
the cut.
You didn't make the cut because I refuse to be anybody's trash can this year. You will not take your garbage and dump it on me. And expect me to carry it. That is quite okay. And, you know, and that's kind of just overall, people have to realize you have to start seeking peace within yourself. And
that's
once you start seeking peace within yourself, peace will surround you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the energy that you put out. Now, if you constantly caught up in the middle of some he, we, they, is, well, then guess what? That's what you draw on you.
Right.
We were talking the other day, and just few people, other people we were just talking in general, and they were saying, you read some of everything. I said, I give every author a chance. Things I don't read is anything against God, anything against that wants to be negative. No, I'm not going to read that. But anything, I will read anything and give anybody a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I might not come back again, but I'll give a chance.
Right.
Because I know it's a
like
hard
thing. And everybody's book is for everybody, so, you know. But if I see an author that has a book and it's not for me or they're writing something that I don't agree with, I'm not going to go publicly air out my grievances against that author.
I'm going to
read
your
book
again.
Right. I'm going to say, oh, okay, well, this wasn't for me, you know, more power to them. And then I'm going to walk away. There's no need for you to bash another author because they wrote something that you didn't like. You know, there's just no call for it.
And that is so true. I'm not going to take my it's just not true. And I think that's why I think you will be here for the long haul for the other authors. I have not heard of you being in any kind of pro-hate. I'm not going to support you because you're on this publishing house. It's just sad because I say this and I say this all the time. We, as younger African-Americans, are doing something 100 years of slavery to do.
Mm-hmm.
That we doing to ourselves.
Right.
And when I say that, people look at me strange, like they don't understand. We're doing what 100 years of slavery couldn't do.
That's so true.
Through slavery, our younger generation is destroying us. And we were saying, as a matter of fact, we were saying, if Martin Luther King, as a matter of fact, someone put it on Facebook, and it said, did I not for this ignorance? And that's a true thing for people to sit back and think about. Did that man give up his life? If you think back, you're a writer now because of Martin Luther King and God. God first and Martin Luther King. It was times where, remember, we wouldn't remember, but there was a time where they couldn't learn how to read and write.
Exactly. And now we have that freedom of speech to sit down and actually put our creative thoughts onto a page, publish it, and put it out there for people to read.
And people don't want to support each other. Think back to when these people had to hide and pretend like they wasn't reading. Now I can publicly go sit in a place in a coffee house and read a book, and you can't tell me I can't.
Yes. That is the truth.
Yeah, I can publicly go sit and read, and you can't tell me I can't. So that's why I try to support a lot of the independent authors.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, I'm not saying all of them for me, but I try to support.
Right, and I'm not just basing on African-American authors either. All authors, I think we should all be united, especially indie authors, and support one another because it's not easy. It's not easy to find time in your schedule to sit down after you've been at work all day, cook dinner for your kids, done 3 loads of laundry, and sit down to have the time and the focus to write a book, to write a novel. It's not easy. There was a lot of nights where I stayed up to 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning writing and then had to get right back up at 6 to go to work. You know, anything worth the time and effort is worth having if you put in the hard work. It's not easy. So for someone to come along and say, well, I see you wrote a book, I don't like it, and I'm going to talk bad about you to this person and that person, it's just very unfair. It's very uncalled for. You know, everybody puts in their hard work and effort to produce their dream, their novel, so we should all be supportive of each other. And like I said before, if I read something that I don't agree with or if someone I don't like writes a novel, I'm not going to downplay it and bash and make it seem like, oh, well, I don't know how she wrote a novel. I don't know how he wrote a book. You know, it is what it is. So you just leave it alone if you don't agree and you walk away from it.
You agree to disagree.
Right, exactly.
That's my view. You agree to disagree. So now that brings me to my next question. What are your thoughts on reviews?
I welcome reviews. As a new author, I mean, I love to see what other people think of my writing. Now, am I going to take it to heart and I'm going to base every review on what I should do as far as my next novel or how I write? No. But input is great. You know, criticism, I want to know how people feel about the story I've written. So I look forward to reviews.
Okay, let's see. Who is your favorite character out of Uncharted Desire?
My favorite character is Brent. I think I grew close to Brent as I was writing the story. Because I don't want to give it away, but he's just a good character.
Right, because I haven't read it yet.
Right.
And, okay, so when you write your character, do you feel like your character becomes a part of you? And it's hard for you to, like, want to get rid of them?
I think when I write the book, subconsciously you put a little bit of yourself into your character or a character. And then when you go back and read it, you're like, oh, wow, that's me. That's a characteristic of myself. And you don't realize you're doing it until you go back to reread it, and it's just like, I just put all myself into this person.
Right. So now my next question, are you a series writer or do you just kind of like set alone and let's move on?
Well, considering that Uncharted's my first novel, I wrote it as a standalone. But I say just about everyone who has read my book has asked me when's the sequel coming out, and I'm like, a sequel? Yeah, girl, you can't leave us like this. You gotta let us know what's going to happen. So, therefore, I'll be working on Uncharted Desires 2 very soon.
Okay, good to know that there's a sequel. I know, and it's something more to it.
You have to
Yeah, you got to, because they don't want. As one author always say, the readers are your boss. Because the moment they stop reading, you don't need to write no more.
Right.
So, what is your dream vacation?
my dream vacation is to go somewhere that's warm, not too hot, not too cold, sunny, tropical, just laid back, relaxed. I haven't been on a vacation in Rio. You know I'm going to be writing. Wherever I go, I'm going to have the laptop with me. So, and someone that just, you know, gives you that inspiration and motivation to create something different.
Yeah, because, you know, you always hear Tyler Perry say he goes to the islands to write.
Mm-hmm.
He goes by himself.
And I'm sure that's beautiful motivation and inspiration.
He said he catches him a flight. He don't take nobody with him. And he goes 21 to 30 days.
Wow.
And he's just there. He says, like, I was watching him on something, but anyway, the have a have not was
mm-hmm.
wrote in Barbados. Was wrote in Barbados.
That's
where he went, and he wrote that whole series. And it's funny because he said, I went by my, you know, it's probably best you go by yourself because then you don't have any distractions.
Right, exactly.
No one pulling you
in
your right. So, you know, you do have to be clear. Okay, so time is kind of running down for us. So I want everybody to know where they can find you after they pick up Untitled Desires. Actually, we got like 5 minutes in the show, so the next caller that calls in will receive a paperback.
Great.
But you have to call in before the show ends. So in between time, meantime, if you're listening in the chat room, call in, ask a question, and you'll gain that great novel of Untitled Desires. But in between time, go ahead and tell everyone where they can find you, locate you, and just be able to chat with you about the book after they read it.
Okay, well, I'm on Facebook under Leatrus, LEATRUS, Nicole Iverson. That's Facebook. You type that in, and believe me, there's not a whole lot of Leatrus Iversons in the world, so I probably will pop right up. I have email that you can email me if you want to ask questions or get advice on anything or just inquire about the book, and that is IversonLeatrus. @yahoo.com, and if you know, feel free to inbox me, ask me any questions you may have, or if you have a grievance about a character in the book, because I've had people do that, you can email me and ask me about the book. And also, my books are available on Amazon, ebook and paperback.
Okay, so again, we got a few seconds left in this video. I'm going to throw this out one more time. If you have not read Untitled Desires and would like a paperback copy, a physical copy, give us a call. Ask a question, and it's yours. I'm excited to read it. It is actually one of United Sisters' discussion books next month.
Yes, and I am very excited about that.
I don't have my schedule with me, so I can't tell you the exact day, but I do know that it's on
February
United 5th, Sisters.
February 5th.
All righty. That's what the author is here for. So February 5th, if you have read Untitled Desires, please join us and support Leatrus and this great novel. That was the gist of that. So, again, and if you haven't purchased it, you got plenty of time to run out by February 5th.
Yeah,
I'm all about supporting authors. So let's go out and buy the copy. Share it with a couple friends. Let's spread the word. Is there anything else you would like to say to the readers that I don't think we touched on?
No. I mean, it's a great interview, and I hope anybody who is interested in writing a novel, anyone who's been thinking about it, stop thinking about it and just start writing. I mean, as soon as you get that first sentence going, it's going to go into another sentence, into a paragraph, into a chapter. Don't limit yourself. Don't make excuses. I mean, you can do it. I mean, like I said, I'm a regular everyday person. I work a job. I have a household to run. I have bills. I have problems. I have things I have to tend to. But if you are passionate about getting your work out there and having something for the world to read, you'll make time. You'll make the allowances to have it done. So I just encourage anyone who's interested in doing that just to go ahead and sit down and make tonight the night that you start your first novel.
That's a good word of advice. Well, we're going to wait a couple more seconds until we get a call. And if not, we're going to bid this interview adieu until the next book drop.
All right.
So in between, meantime, we'll just discuss. So, like, when you writing, do you use any type of music Like, when you put a sound system together, a sound system, a soundtrack to your book?
No, it just depends on what kind of scene I'm writing. You know, sometimes I might be writing something sensual, and I might have that laid-back, easy music, R&B going in the background. Or, you know, it just depends on the mood and the scene that I'm writing. Sometimes I have jazz playing. You know, sometimes I just need that complete silence just so I can focus on what I'm trying to get across. So it just varies on where I'm at in the book of what I'm writing.
Okay. Well, again, I'm going to say thank you for spending your time with me. I know you work today, so I thank you for giving me an hour of your time.
You're welcome.
And I look forward to interviewing you again when the next book drops. And I'm looking forward to starting Uncharted Desire for the discussion.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. We'll see you again at the same time, same place, just a different book. Have a great evening.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.